Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. I appreciate you making the trip today. It's beautiful, right? Making your way here today, it was just so beautiful, even just coming down the hill. Well, you might have noticed in your bulletin that the Reverend David Smith from Wilton was supposed to lead us today. I am not him. And he will not be here. He was a little concerned about the forecast, and he usually leaves from here on Thanksgiving after the service and goes to New Hampshire to his stepdaughter's house. But he decided to go yesterday. So letting me know that on Tuesday morning kind of put the onus on me to create a sermon, which I've done. Fortunately, he had given me his scripture readings, so I kind of had an idea of what he was going to do. So that was very helpful. But anyway, I hope you're okay that it's me and not David Smith. And a couple people are walking in, but at this time I would ask you to stand and turn to number 367 in your hymnal for our call to worship, Come to the Church in the Wildwood. Thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place to celebrate what you have done for us and for all the generations before ours. Amen. I hope you'll continue to stand if you're comfortable with that, turning to hymn number 509, Come Ye Thankful People Come. very traditional Thanksgiving song. You to just pass the peace and wish them a happy Thanksgiving before we have our thanks. This usually takes about 10 minutes. That's okay. It's all good. When you're done with your greeting each other, have a seat. Everybody warm enough?
Yeah.
We're good? All right. So it's a tradition in our church to have a brief hymn sing in just about every service we do. So this is an opportunity for you to request a hymn that you would like to have sung. I would propose that we would sing the first and last verse in order to be able to sing maybe more than a couple of songs. But if you're really wanting to sing an entire, all the verses, I'm good with that too.
So, this is where I always put my little...
Oh, yes, this is where Paula needs to say. Go ahead.
About, I cannot hear you singing while I'm playing, so I either need you to please sing really, really loud so I can follow you, or pick really familiar ones, please.
You do great.
This is the hardest part to prepare for.
Right, exactly. And as always, if it's easiest just to do the melody, I don't think anybody's going to mind that. So, are there any requests? Come on, there's got to be some. How about number 323, Standing on the Promises? And just the first and last verse. I should know this one is, I think it's 4-something, but...
487.
All right, thank you. 487. And how many verses do you want, Paula?
Oh, 1 and 4 would be fine.
Okay. Faith of our fathers.
By the way, double vision doesn't
help. Oh, yes.
Sorry, once again,
no problem. Glory. Do you want all the verses? No? Okay. First and last in the garden. Thank you very much. All beautiful selections. At this time, you have an opportunity, if you so wish, to ask for prayer requests, either for yourself or for someone else. It might be a prayer of concern or a prayer of joy. No have-tos here, but if you'd like to, raise your hand and I would be happy to take a note of that. I'm going to praise God for having family here today. I'm very grateful for that and all the help they've already been. So that's my praise for the day.
My praise for the day is Elizabeth Young, who kept me at her house while I worked in Portland. And she's kept me from committing homicide today.
Oh, my. So she's a really good friend. Thank you, Elizabeth. We don't want to see Pam in jail.
I'd like to pray for my daughter, Jean, who is having tests this week for cancer. I was in a really weird car accident last winter, and I'm still a little bit afraid of driving in the snow.
But
so I was driving here. And I was thinking, well, you've gone to church. Jesus will protect you. Just drive.
Perfect. Perfect. So we're praising God that you got here safe and sound.
Yeah.
And we know that you're going to get home okay, too.
Yeah.
Are there any others? All right, then we'll go to the Lord for a time of prayer. And at the end of my prayer, I hope you'll join me in the Lord's Prayer, which is written in your bulletin. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to come to worship you in this beautiful place with the beautiful surroundings. It certainly seems like what might have been a Thanksgiving many hundreds of years ago at this point, for the first Thanksgiving. We praise you, God, for family, for safe arrivals, for the love that families share, for the help that we can give one another. We thank you for really good friends like Elizabeth, who helped to keep us sane and going. We pray for Elizabeth's daughter, Jean, who will be tested for cancer this coming week. Lord, your hand is in that, and whatever the results of that test are, may Jean be strong and know that you are with her no matter what. And we praise God for safe and sound driving, for arrivals where we want to be, for overcoming what might have been a fear that's very hard to overcome. I praise you for this woman who made the trip to the church today, and I know that you're going to deliver her home safe and sound. I know you've heard all of our requests, prayers you knew before they were even uttered, as well as all the prayers that maybe were not said aloud. We know you will answer these prayers in the way that you see fit. We ask that you will encourage us to thank you for answers, no matter what they are. Help us to remember that although we may not understand the answers, we can rest assured in the knowledge that you are standing with us in all circumstances. I ask you now to join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We follow our prayer time with a song. The words to that song are also in your bulletin. Present our offerings, but please know that if you are not prepared to put anything in the basket today, your presence here is gift enough. And I will be collecting. God, merciful and gracious, and of whose bounty we have received, we ask you accept this offering of your people. Allow it to be used to promote the goodness of Jesus Christ through peace and goodwill among all men. Amen. Please be seated. So, as I mentioned, David's not here. I'm doing the service. But he had given me scriptures, and I was able to pretty much glean from at least one of them what he might have talked about. The other one, not so much. So you've got the Jeremiah reading in your bulletin. Feel free to take that home and read that sometime. Give it a pound on the top, Paula. There you go. you made it, yay! You got here for the good part, I'm just about to do the sermon. The other reading is from the book of Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Jesus heals 10 men with leprosy. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give me praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you whole." We start with 10 men who have the worst disease of their day. The physical ramifications are horrendous. Leprosy attacks the body, leaving sores, losing fingers and toes, and damaging limbs. In many cases, the initial pain of leprosy gives way to something even more horrible than that, a loss of sensation in nerve endings, leading to more damage to more body parts. As the disease runs its course, limbs can simply fall off. It is assuredly a most horrific disease. We have nearly an impossible task of trying to fathom what it was like 2,000 years ago, when medical treatment was almost non-existent. Even today, there are approximately 180,000 cases of leprosy in the world, mostly in Africa and Asia. But today, leprosy can be cured with 6 to 12 months of multi-drug therapy. The emotional pain of a leper back in Christ's time, however, must have been even worse than the physical pain. Those afflicted were removed from their family and from their community. There could be no contact with their children or their grandchildren. There would be no kissing your spouse goodbye for fear that that spouse would become afflicted. Lepers tended to roam together, looking for food and begging for assistance, but from a great distance, learning to yell in loud voices, both from the need to warn others and to beg for help. What would it have been like to have been removed from friends and family for the rest of your life, to have been forced to announce that removal, you had to do it on a daily basis? It must have been just awful. And yet in this account, 10 men encounter Jesus. "We want to be well," they scream at Jesus. And they hear him say the most unusual thing, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." The local priest had duties other than leading worship on each Sabbath. He was also something of a health official. In the very unlikely event a person presented themselves as healed of leprosy, it was up to the priest to inspect the body, to test for complete removal of the disease, and to announce that the person had been cleansed. Jesus says to these lepers, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." I can imagine them looking down at their bodies, one man with mangled hands and another who looks down at his leg and sees a rag where his knee used to be, another one whose skin is just as repulsive as ever. In other words, all these men were no better off than they had been 10 minutes before. And yet, they headed off in search of the priests, and on their way, they were healed. On their way, a hand reappeared and tingled with life. A crutch tripped on a filthy rag as it fell to the ground, and a leg was back, healthy, complete. The skin cleared, and the tiny hairs on a forearm turned from snow white to brown. I can imagine one looking at the other, and the other looking at the rest, and smiles and screaming and cheering, and what a sweet madness. They raced off into the distance, not believing that the nightmare was finally over. But in order for the miracle to happen, these men had to start walking in faith before their circumstances had changed. Is there a more potent lesson for us this Thanksgiving Day? Maybe it's you cannot wait until the problems are over in order to start walking in faith. You cannot put conditions on God. You cannot say, Lord, as soon as there's enough money, I will follow your instructions. You cannot pray, Lord, if you'll just solve this issue with my family, I'll start to go to church. You cannot put conditions on God. Instead, God places a demand for faith on us before anything at all has changed. God might say, love me despite the disease, obey me despite the lack of talent or the lack of resources. Follow me now despite the depression. Say no to the temptation while it's still difficult. Praise me in the darkest nights and in the worst of circumstances. This is the nature of God, a God who loves you so much, he'll give you the opportunity to be thankful when nothing about your circumstances gives you that motivation. That is the very definition of faith. Now, you may prefer to be satisfied rather than thankful, but which is better? If you praise God in the good days only in the best of circumstances, it would not be faith at all. That would be more like a business arrangement, and this is not about business. Some of you may be in horrible circumstances right now. Will you be thankful despite those circumstances? Will you recognize God is with you in all circumstances? Man, that's so hard sometimes. But if so, you will have experienced faith. One of the men came back to Jesus and praised God. He was thankful. He was public about it. He was loud about it. He wasn't shy at all. Why was he so loud? Well, maybe because this guy had been forced to yell for as long as he'd had leprosy. Had it been years? He probably yelled so long he didn't know how to come to the Lord quietly. One healed leper came back. One caught himself in the midst of the celebration and returned to Jesus. He reversed his steps, put his family on hold, put the priests on hold, and came back to the cause of his celebration. His response and life situation were unique, but in the simplest sense of what he did, his thankfulness led to action. And boy, did that turn out to be important. Where are the other nine? Jesus asked. Jesus had said, go and show yourselves to the priest. He never commanded any of them to express thankfulness to God or return to him, the healer. Nevertheless, I think it's probably what he was hoping for. What kind of action is Jesus looking for from you? Has the Lord been tugging at you for some step of faith? Is there a family, a friend, or even a stranger in need of help this Thanksgiving season? Is there something you feel compelled to do? My best advice, based on what Jesus was looking for 2,000 years ago, is to take that step of action. Assume God is pulling you toward that area or to that action and get it done. Otherwise, the importance of that prayer over the Thanksgiving meal this afternoon will last about as long as the sensation of fullness after the meal is finished. Shouldn't our spirit of thankfulness last longer than that? Let's look at the scripture again. We're going to look at three different words that are all trying to say the same thing. They're all saying that this used to be leper is well. In verse 15, it says, one of them, when he saw, he was healed. And we stop there. The Greek word for healed is hiatha, which is a purely medical term. It means to mend, to repair. It's like a broken bone that's finally sewn itself together. This guy was all patched up. In verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Stop there. The word cleansed, it's a different word than hiatha. This one is katharazu. It's great fun learning how to pronounce these things. The root word for our catheter. It too is a medical word in part, for it means to remove impurities. When a doctor inserts a heart cath, angioplasty might remove a blockage of an artery. It will cause healing. Naturally, the Jewish connotations of this word are important too. To be cleansed was exactly what the priest would be looking for and would declare. It carried some religious overtones. And finally, in verse 19, Jesus says to this very thankful man, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you whole." Made you whole. This is not a medical word. This word is the Greek. In the Greek is sohu, which means saved. When Paul describes what would happen to a person who publicly professed Jesus as Lord and Savior, he uses that same word, sohu. And Jesus says to this very thankful man who was willing to follow God before his circumstances changed, to worship God before he returned home, that he is completely healed, a wellness that passes all other wellness terms. This man, Jesus said, understands and is saved. Remember, a priest must make a declaration that a leper has to be healed. There were no great details involved in the process. There were details of what a priest, there were great details, sorry. There were details of what the priest was to look for and how a person with the disease could be readmitted to the community, healed and whole. But this didn't happen. Nobody healed from leprosy. Lepers are not naturally cured. People didn't naturally heal from leprosy 2,000 years ago. It was a life sentence of pain and exclusion. But it is recorded that there were healings. In our record of the Old and New Testaments, every healing of a leper came by supernatural means. In the Old Testament, the sister of Moses had leprosy for 1 week and was miraculously cured. A man named Naaman, an army commander in the book of 2 Kings, was cured miraculously. In the New Testament, however, not only in the book of Luke, Jesus heals lepers as if they had mild colds and he had the right medication in his back pocket. Jesus continued the practice of healing lepers not naturally, but supernaturally. In Matthew 8, Jesus reaches out and touches a man with leprosy and then tells him to go show himself to the priest. Today, you've probably touched more people in an hour than that man had touched in all of the years that he had been sick with the leprosy. Today, you've been close to family and friends, and maybe a hug met you at the door. I expect the leper longs for a loving touch. He needed love. And before he was healed, while there was still a tremendous risk, Jesus was willing to give him a touch. No abuse has scarred you so badly that Jesus won't touch you. Jesus is willing to lovingly touch you and hold you and restore you. No sin has made you unlovable. Jesus is willing to call you his friend and stand beside you. It was his death that paid for your sin. No fear has disqualified you. No failure has negated his love. The miracle of thanksgiving is the love of Jesus for you. No exceptions, no qualifications, no doubts. He loves you. And for that, oh God, we are so thankful. This has been a holiday week. It can be a very busy week. If you have company staying over, perhaps there's been a little extra cleaning, a little extra cooking, extra chores, maybe some other special gatherings. It's just so busy. And if you've traveled, you spend time planning and packing and making the trip, dealing with other travelers. Perhaps you fretted about the weather and hoped the car would behave itself on the road. In this holiday week, it's possible to get all the way through Thanksgiving without ever stopping to be thankful. Today, be sure you take time to acknowledge God for his goodness. Be the one and not one of the other nine. Be sure to actually be thankful. Be sure to gather everyone up for a prayer of thanksgiving that's a real prayer of thankfulness. Don't miss the opportunity to worship God. And be loud about it. Amen. Sorry, Paul, I got to put you back at the organ. I realize that we did miss the offering hymn, but just, and that's fine, no problem about that. But we will conclude with number 508, "Now Thank We All Our God." Please stand. We have stopped for a moment to encounter each other, to meet, to love, to share. This is a precious moment, but it's transient. It's just a little parenthesis in eternity. But if we share with caring and lightheartedness and love, we will create abundance and joy for each other, the joy that Christ instills in us. And that is what makes this moment so worthwhile. Thank you for sharing this moment with me. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. And if you came in late, make sure you sign the guest book. Thank you, Paula. It was great. Appreciate you doing that.
Mostly because I was more familiar with, and I was glad that you did change that other one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah. It just seemed like that other one, and it was not a real familiar one, and yeah.